Ben.
Jake.
How good's this?
What, you being in the next room to me?
Well, something like that. The wonders of technology. But I've actually got a footy story to kick us off. Sort of footy story.
Hit me with it.
Person from work got somehow, given the current climate, just ahead of the border shutdowns and stuff, got a trip away last week to Byron Bay. So went and made the most of what I'm assuming is nicer weather up there. They had to, I'm not sure exactly the details of where they were scheduled to land, but they said that they had to make an emergency landing in Brisbane and go to Byron Bay, you know, Ballina and all that sort of stuff. Yep. So land in Brisbane and then travel down the coast to Byron, whatever, get to their accommodation. Wrong bag. Grab the wrong bag at the airport.
Oh, no.
Get a phone call from a number, obviously, you know.
Good Samaritan.
Their bags tagged and stuff, yep. You've accidentally taken my bag, or, you know, we've always got the same one. Where are you staying? I'll come and pick it up and we'll swap over, whatever. And so she's feeling really bad about it. You know, the blokes rang her. So she goes out and buys a six-pack of Stone and Wood for the bloke to just for the inconvenience. She thought she was in the wrong. Bloke rocks up at the accommodation. Guess who?
Who?
Chris Judd.
Oh, you're joking.
No.
I thought you were going to say Scotty Lucas.
No, imagine that. You've bought six Stone and Woods for Chris Judd.
Oh, like, no.
He's going to get out of bed for Stone and Wood. But so you've grabbed. Oh, that's all I'm going to do from now on is just grab the wrong bag at the airport and hope that it's somebody famous. And she wouldn't know who he was. I think someone she was with told her.
Yeah.
And she's from New Zealand and wouldn't know who Chris Judd was. Like really wouldn't know at all. Wouldn't have even had a faint idea. And she's bought six beers for him. He did take the Stone and Woods, though.
That's so nice. That's a very good gesture from Chris. I like that a lot.
Bit of a peace offering. So
yeah,
there's probably our first real time footy story of season three.
The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Benny, another show ready to get stuck into it. Good to get a Chris Judd reference away nice and early in the show.
Absolutely. We do need a highlight I'm looking what?
I was going to say you're looking very chipper, but I was going to use that as a segue into the next thing that we're going to, or the first thing we're going to talk about. So you go with your interruption first.
Well, I look chipper because for once we can actually do this podcast away from each other. We've finally figured out how to use Zoom.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to breach any breach. I don't want to jinx any potential goings on here, but. Gee, we look set up well and all the tests have worked so well.
Yeah.
And it means one of us doesn't have to travel to Thornbury. So
yeah, and it's not me.
It's not you, and it's not me anymore either. So
yeah. Came in very good timing, actually. As we record this, the only news came out about an hour or so ago about the state of Victoria going into full lockdown again. So there's your political news off the top. So we actually took it upon ourselves to social distance just in front of that wave. So we're actually at the forefront. We're doing well there, Jay.
Absolutely.
But I believe before you ask me, I believe the question's going to be the Bombers. Is it about the Bombers? You want to talk Bomber chat?
The Bombers, mate. The Bombers, last Friday night, I tipped them, which is usually a poison chalice for most teams. But they got the Chockies against the Pies in what was one of the most topsy-turvy, and I can only imagine stressful games as a supporter of the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely stressful it was. Overall, I was just really over the moon with the effort. The relentless pressure, just tackling aside, all things aside, just the tackling was the one thing that I took out of that game that was just, it just put me on cloud nine because We don't typically bring that energy, and when we do, it's not for that long. I mean, the first 5 minutes was looking not great. Obviously, Collingwood didn't miss a target for about 5 minutes. We literally got three disposals to there, about 45, and they kicked three straight. So we're 18 zip down, and then it was just looking like one of those, another nightmare game against the Pies. And then, boy, did we just turn it around from there. It was honestly very... I was super proud, actually, Jake, to be honest. I was very, very proud that we just kept that up, despite Collingwood's near comeback again, which we love doing. And as a Carlton supporter, you love doing it as well. Nothing's ever won until it's actually done.
Don't do things the easy way.
No, never have. Oh, well, I can't remember the last time we had, I think, 2000, where we dropped a game, which I bring up at least once every week about that, about 20 years ago, anyway. But
I'm glad I got you started on the Bombers. This has been good.
Yeah? What did you think? I just thought they were honestly...
They were woeful, and then they were exceptional, and then they were woeful, and then... When I thought they were gone, when that dangerous tackle free kick was paid, I thought that, oh boy, is this going to set them off? And set them off it did. But the fact that Essendon were able to rally was a little bit frightening, really.
Because
they were completely gone. And I mean, the week before we saw Carlton do it against Essendon, you thought when Essendon got two goals up, you're like, oh well, you know. That's probably the end of it, but when they found a way to rally, especially after a dodgy umpiring decision, and Collingwood fans will argue the Jordan Degoe non-goal, the score review.
I mean,
of course,
the free kick count, I think, was 25-12, so I don't think Collingwood can really complain about that one. But
yeah, but I guess a point to that is that free kick counts don't have to be even, Ben.
No, they don't, Jake, but they typically are not in Essendon's favour as of recent years, against the Pies especially, with Anzac Day last year and the game following that. I think there was some absolutely woeful decisions that actually turned the game and could argue won the game for Collingwood both those times. So it was actually nice to just sort of, get the rubber of the green. I mean, there was a fair dinkum throw as well in that last quarter, which was in front of our goals that we didn't get paid for. But
We're not into the exact match analysis sort of thing here, especially not of a game that happened almost a week ago. So we will push past. I just wanted to let you get some Essendon stuff off your chest.
It was good though, Jake. To answer your question, it was beautiful. Now, the only thing is, can we bring it again? That's Essendon for you. If we can do 2 weeks in a row, I'll be very very happy with that sort of progress, because we typically play poor, then pretty good the next week, and then back to somewhat poor. So huge game this week, I think. Against are we playing North?
Yeah,
I think
North up. Oh, yeah, they're all at Metro. Yeah, we are. I think though that's where the where the variety will come. I was actually talking to a couple of Essendon supporters, and they said, oh, North always touch us up, whatever, we always play bad against North. And I sort of said to them, well, it's not going to be at Marvel anymore. You know, we're playing the Dogs this weekend up at Metricon as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, the Dogs, are better at Marvel, but it's like, we don't have to play them there anymore. We're playing them at Metricon, which is an unknown for both. So
yeah, that's right.
I think, for those sort of inconsistent sort of sides, it could be better, especially if you're playing against teams that... like your St Kilda's and the Bulldogs of the world that are better at Marvel. You're sort of going to take that advantage away with the new hub life that the players have vacated the homeland of Victoria and spread themselves up the northeast coast.
I'm certainly excited about this hub life. It's like a school excursion for me. just watch it. I've seen a few pictures.
Are you up there with them? Or?
In spirit, absolutely. I think the couple of photos from, obviously I bring it back to the Bombers, but that the club posted of the boys, and they had their bags and their pillows. The pillows with them personally just brought back these, grade six sort of camp Rumbug, if you've ever been that way in Victoria.
We didn't go to Rumbug? We went to Camp Coonawarra in grade
Camp
six.
Coonawarra. I think we went there as well, actually. So there you go. But it just brought back those sort of those little giggly sort of, watching a horror with your friends growing up, that sort of sleepover vibe. Which I know there's,
I've seen some Instagram. Yeah.
I know there's heaps more to it.
I've seen some Instagram content.
Yeah, it's great content. So this is the first Zoom time where we might be talking.
Just talking over each other. Yeah. I mean, we do generally talk over each other anyway, so it's really not going to be not going to be anything too out of the ordinary. But yeah, as we've seen, all the players have gone off and up into hub life, and you've already seen on Instagram that there would be a few blokes that are seemingly a little bit more hard to live with in a full-time sense. I think I saw Braden Maynard knock over like a full Jenga kit, which would annoy the shit out of me if I was playing Jenga. Yeah. And yeah, just a few of those sort of things. I think that it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the novelty does wear off, because as we know at grade six camp, the novelty wore off.
Yeah.
Three or four. And I mean, these are professional athletes and they're adults, so I'm sure that they aren't, you know, trying to stay
Nick-knocking each other's dorm rooms.
Yeah.
I remember once in grade six, we all nick-knocking a door, and then one of my friends back then, I witnessed him nick-knock on this door and then run away like a little schoolgirl giggling. And then he didn't read the sign on the door that said that said janitor's office. There's nothing in there, just pillows and some spare sheets.
Oh, I remember at our grade six camp, the principal and the PE teacher like put on this big skit that there was a mental asylum close by, and one of the inmates broke out and scared 150 grade six kids like witless. Like, it was out in the middle of the woods and stuff, and was like, oh, you know, we need to try and find her out. And just the thought of it just scared everyone shitless. So hopefully in the hubs
there's a bit of that
tomfoolery.
No, I hope there is a bit of that. That'll just keep the boys alive. Just some campfire stories.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, sure, the best time in the hub is after a win, because, you know, you just can sort of go back together in the mess room. And I've dropped my pen. How far are we into the show? I've dropped my pen.
I've got two here.
Mess hall at camp, and you might be able to have a couple, few beers, maybe a hot chocolate, you know, out of a big canister, whatever they're
saying. Supper, they called it. First time supper, I heard the word supper be used in Australia was on school camp.
Obviously
a little bit different with some players electing not to go. And we haven't spoken about this previously, but I'm more than supportive of those decisions for personal reasons, young families, religion, whatever it is. It's just family 100% comes first. And anyone who has knocked that on either via Twitter or whatever, I think you just... just wake up. It is a game at the end of the day.
Haven't the sourpusses come out on Twitter about that sort of stuff? Like, oh, they get paid so well, you know. Even Shane Warne said it's like family should understand it's part of being an elite sportsman. Well, it's not part of being an AFL player. Like, it's not.
No, it's not.
That reality
is so unprecedented. We use that word.
Yeah. And so, you know, going away for 4 or 5 weeks is not a part of being an AFL player. Like, it's just. Mm. It doesn't have to be their reality, because it's not. Like, and for cricket it is, and for the Olympics and for tennis and all these various sports it is. But I don't think you can celebrate that Australian rules football is Australia's game and all this sort of stuff, and then, you know, and then lament them when they have to be away from home. And I don't think the players are complaining. They're just fighting for, you know, for what they have signed up for. And
yeah,
they're
absolutely
keeping the game alive, because, you know,
keeping the whole of Australia entertained. We're actually getting some entertainment during this shit time. So from Wardy's perspective, I absolutely love him, absolutely. But like these players, when he was, you know, having to travel the world and stay in different countries for months on end, it was bit different. It wasn't like he was locked in his apartment or anything like that. He was down at the Cass, bloody playing poker and probably doing all sorts of naughtiness.
I saw a really good tweet, and I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was quite prominent all over Twitter, and it said, if there's one man that I would take advice from in terms of keeping a family together in my mid-20s, 30s, it certainly wouldn't be Shane Warne. Oh, boy.
Well, there goes our chances of getting him on the show.
Yeah, I didn't tweet it. It was just something that I saw.
No, Shane, if you are listening, we'd love to have Shane on the show.
Love to have you.
Yeah.
I think that would be... One team that, again, Ben, I continue to sort of prove me wrong. I'm sure that's the reason why they're doing so well. Stick it up me is the Bulldogs. I've semi-upset a couple of Western Bulldogs fans. Like, we don't have that many people that listen to the show, but obviously a couple of Western Bulldogs fans do. And after another win, it's sort of like, well, there you go again. It's like, well, I don't really need to be lectured by a 2 premiership supporter base. You've been around for long enough.
That's a little unfair, Jake, I think. I think everyone's got their right
on
to...
On a Saturday night, telling me, oh, Dogs got another win. Well, I'm not interested in Dogs. But Carlton playing this week.
I want to make a personal call to all the Doggy supporters that listen to this show. Every time you boys get up, and it's going to continue to happen because I'm right around the Dogs. I love their brand of footy. Please, please, please go to JakeLambert23 on Instagram and send him a personal message just about how good you boys are doing, because that's fantastic.
Well, I think they're doing it anyway, because as I said, we don't have that many people listening to the show, and there's a few that keep coming back to me. So, but this week will be the big one, because I reckon Carlton knock them off up there at Metric on Sunday night
football. I love it. I love it. Sunday night footy,
which will be huge. Yeah. Prime time, pizza, we won't be able to go anywhere. I was going to say go to your mate's joint maybe, but that won't be
happening. This is great for pizza joints, I tell you what, because which night do you get your pizza? I had pizza Friday and Saturday night on the weekend, which doesn't usually happen 2 days in a row, but with the amount of footy that's on, and I know it's usually on a Friday and a Saturday night, but there's not much you can personally do. I'm usually doing something else. It's like, which night do you pick your pizza? If you use it early on Friday, then as you said, you've got the Sunday night game.
Traditionally, you don't pull up well from pizza, I think, is the other the other aspect of it. It's quite a heavy meal, and you don't really feel like it once you've had it.
That's how much I've been enjoying the footy, Jake, because you are right.
Fantastic, Ben. I'm happy if you're happy, and if you're loading up on pizza 3-4 times a weekend, then who am I to tell you that you should?
Thank you. Thank you. We'll see how many I can do this weekend.
Look, there's a little segment that we used to, I think it was Sam's for a while, and then maybe Jack had a go at it. It was called Media Watch.
I think it stemmed originally from, I think I did some sort of...
Was it even me?
No, I think it
was some sort of skit or something.
Well, I think I had a go at like media thingos, and that sort of like, then it became in my mind like, all right, you got to sort of find something to do this segment with, which it's not always there. So it's unfair to just have a go at someone every week. But then, you're right, it turned into a bit of media watch sort of style. But anyway, you've got something for me, do you, Jake?
I've got a couple, because two of the heavy hitters, the self-proclaimed heavy hitters, two Herald Sun bigwigs, have crossed my desk this week. And the first one is our old mate Susie O'Brien. And I didn't even want to click on this article, because the only way that she can stop writing articles is if people stop reading them.
I don't subscribe personally.
Well, I am a Herald Sun subscriber, and
get political, but that's where the issue is right there.
Well, the issue is that people message me and say like, oh, can you print screen this article and send them all to me? And I end up, like the other day, one of our good
you're
friends,
running out
Jack
of space
Johnson,
on your phone.
Yeah, literally, he sent me a link to a local footy article or something. He said, can you print screen and send it to me? It took me 16 print screens. I mean, like, I don't even know people, but like, it just went forever and ever, and I thought, where do I draw the line here, Jack? I mean, we're friends, but
you're technically bootlegging right now. You're bootlegging articles on Herald Sun.
Gee, I hope no one from the Herald Sun listens. But I read this article, and I couldn't just listen to this for me. And I'm sorry to break down their paywall, but Victorians are facing escalating coronavirus numbers and a rising death toll, fear mongering already. And many people are bracing for tighter statewide restrictions and lockdown, so already appealing to a mass sense of outrage. Except for AFL players, most of whom escaped our virus-ridden state over the weekend, virus-ridden in percentages is incorrect, headed for resorts on the Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast and New South Wales. Players and club officials packed their surfboards and golf clubs, incorrect, and flew off to spend 5 weeks in the sun, training, playing and relaxing. Most of us can't fly anywhere, but players winged their way to freedom. How can this be allowed? I'm a footy fan, but in the current climate, it is unacceptable. Non-AFL players can't go to Queensland, New South Wales or any other state. Some people in the north and western suburbs can't go anywhere at all. Those in high-rise commission towers can't even leave their flats. They're treated like prisoners and confined to their homes. But AFL players are exempt from strict lockdown rules that apply to everyone else. The rest of us have lost the right to decide where we go and when, but they're allowed to flee. It's an unfair and disgraceful situation. If that's not one of the great storms in a teacup, because it's an entertainment, like, you know, they're trying to keep it's not just players that are trying to get paid to do this. Like,
Jay, I don't think you need to even defend the opposite of this article. I think that is just utter trash. That is what it is. It's trash. If you're an editor at the Herald Sun, you are simply getting those clicks, not the ones that are from Jake's friends who he's just screenshotting them and sending them to. If you're like Jake and you actually do subscribe to the Herald Sun, take the screenshots and send them to everyone so we don't have to see so more people don't have to actually pay for this shit. Excuse my French, that's fucking ridiculous, Jake.
Boy, I wouldn't use the F word. No. Grandparents listen to this.
Oh, God. No.
We'll have to bleep it out. Yeah, look, sorry, it's Mrs. Just, yeah, Mr. Lambert. It's just a disgrace.
It's coming from the same person, though, who's written articles of the same nature before. I think there was one publicly shaming Jimmy Bartel about his marriage split. There was one about Kobe Bryant after his passing. And the same person who's asked for the AFL to change their name to the AFL-M, so for the Australian Football League men's. But are we surprised? Like, when it's just so obvious, it gets to a point, and I'm the same. This is why I ride Kane Corn so hard as well, because it gets to the point where you're not respecting the people's actual opinions and their IQ points. Pretty much, you're saying these people will eat this shit up, and it's pathetic. It's actually just writing for that fearmongering, as you said, and it's just like it's the old man yells at a cloud all over again. Just get a grip.
But it's also it just treats them like they're robots too. Like in the world where we're trying to celebrate individualism and sort of get more characters and stuff in the game, whatever. Like I saw on Instagram of Brody Grundy and a few of the Collingwood boys saying goodbye to their dogs, and I sort of thought, oh, that sucks. Like,
yeah,
You're changing your whole living situation. You go, and yeah, they're getting paid and they get paid well for it, and that's okay, and they have agreed to the terms, and that's fine. But it doesn't mean there's not a human element. Like, for everyone going up and being like, Rory Sloane's been away from his baby for 3 or 4 weeks. Bryce Gibbs the same with his two young children.
Yeah.
Like, and he wasn't even playing.
Yeah.
So imagine how hard that would be.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even get that release while he's up there. He's just up there training.
I think she has this thought that in the back of her mind, all these guys, she, I think, hopes deep down are happy about leaving their families, because I think by the sounds of it,
like the toxic.
Well, I think that's just her angle a lot. Is that men are pigs, and like this is what's wrong with men's sports and men's this and men's problems. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And it clearly gets clicks, we live in that world now. Like, not to get political again, but the Pauline Hanson on the Today Show yesterday, and then Channel 9 come out and say, we'll have no part of this. It's like, well, exactly who this person is.
Now I've got to see what you said.
Yeah,
now I have to go and watch this.
It's just one big circle of like this game that we play. And I actually took a long time off Twitter for a while. In June, December, and I only got back on like last week, and you can't get away from it. Even if you just selectively follow just people you like, sports people, whatever, it just all creeps back in. It's like no one can do anything without this scrutiny. That is just unfair and uncalled for, really.
And got a couple other little quick media watches here now that we've covered the Susie O'Brien article. Your mate Mark Robinson, AFL 360, another Herald Sun, the chief football writer at the Herald Sun. So Jared got tested for COVID on the weekend. I'm not sure if he was – I think he had a cold, and so he went and got tested, and he came back negative.
I hope Robbo didn't give him the kind of shtick that you gave me for getting tested.
Well, I think he was actually sick. I don't think he just wanted to be an Essendon player.
I was sick, for the record.
So Jared waited in the car, he said, for about an hour and 45 minutes, I think, near Chadston. And Robbo said, didn't you tell him who you were and go straight to the front of the line or something, which is obviously something that Robbo would do. And then Jared said that he'd come back all clear. And then Robbo said, I've been coughing for a week, but I haven't gone and got tested.
Mark. Mr. Robinson.
But like last week he was, and I know that it's tongue-in-cheek and I'm not trying to be one of the overreact, but I mean, he is sick a lot, in fairness. Like, I know he missed a lot of the show. Like genuinely, he missed a lot of the show last year when he wasn't well. So he probably knows his illness is, what he usually feels like. But Like last week he was bagging, you know, he was saying, you know, the players are selfish, whatever, you know, if they are breaching it and, you know, still side bottom, this, that, the other. But then he's been sick for a week. He's had a common symptom of coronavirus for a week and then says on national television that he hasn't gone and got tested. Like, and he's not on the show. This is Tuesday night now as we record. He's not on the show because of the backlash. He's had to go and get tested and can't come into work until... And it's like, oh, you just wonder where some people's brains are.
I didn't know any of this. This is brilliant. But that is our mate Robbo, isn't it? That is our mate Robbo.
It's just one of the great media watchers.
But at the same time, it sort of dawned on me last week that if you were to put a label on yourself and myself in terms of, you know, other shows, it dawned on me. I actually woke up in a cold sweat that, holy shit, I'm Robbo. In the group.
No, because I refuse to be Jared.
You're not Robbo.
No, I'm not Robbo, but I don't think...
You come at it from a... You definitely come at it from the more intelligent point of view, so yeah, that just sort of just leaves...
It's all just a facade. I think
I wasn't going to tell anyone.
The people that you and I most like are ourselves, Ben, and we bring our own charm to this show, which is why we have a tight-knit group of followers that continue to come back week after week, which we're incredibly grateful for. The last media watch moment that I've got for you before we take a quick break and get stuck into the conference call, which looks to be a huge one.
I'm so excited for this one. Yeah.
John Cena followed me on Twitter.
Whoa.
The John Cena, there's a blue
tick. Did I hear that correctly?
Everything. So I think we are closer than ever to getting John Cena on the Magoos. Because I can DM him.
Can you?
He follows me. I can DM him. I'll do it right now. I haven't even thought about that.
Let's do it. Let's get John Cena on the Magoos because now's the best time. Because you look at how big the footy is getting in some pockets in the US just due to COVID. Really, getting Pat McAfee on his show. Is it McAfee?
Yeah,
I think so.
You can't see it.
Oh, I can't really say that. So walk me through.
Genuinely, I can DM.
Was there a reasoning behind this?
It just popped up.
Was there something that
it just came through?
You liked your tweet?
No, it just.
He's not doing follow for follow.
I follow him. He's one of my favorite stars wrestlers from a long, long way back.
You told me the other week you were a Randy Orton fan.
I don't mind Randy Orton. If we are going to get stuck into the nitty gritty of the.
So, one of our loyal listeners, Lucas, would be loving this chat.
I tweeted out that John Cena was now following me. So there's like the possibilities are now endless until I send him this DM and he'll likely unfollow and block me.
Okay, but that's a risk we're willing to take.
Because this is a once in a lifetime.
If he unfollows you, then it's just you're back to where you were. You're still blonde-headed Jake that I know with the mustache. And if he replies, then how good's that? We get him on the Magoos.
The wheels are in motion.
Watch your space. I reckon we need to monitor that, and I think you need to put that on the socials.
And I'll report back. I did get Dom Sheed last
year. That is true, Dom. I think he's liked a couple of our things since then too, Dom. We need to get him on the actual audio.
Yeah. That'd be nice. But no one else until John Cena.
No. All right. I hope our listeners are that loyal because they're going to have to put up with you and I for a while if it's just going to be until we get John Cena on the show.
This is big.
Although we got Anthony Koutafidis on in our first season, which still baffles me to this day.
Yeah, not only did we get him on, he came to the studio. He was in person.
Yeah,
and I was messaging him the other week. I messaged him after Carlton beat Essendon, and we're having a bit of a chat about the game. Yeah, genuinely, I think we're genuinely friends.
Okay, and all it took was a Herbalife membership.
Yep, worth its weight in gold, my friend.
Jake, speaking of, I think, producing, we actually have, and our listeners will be very excited about this, the conference call coming up in a second, but we all, one of them is the infamous, our producer from the last couple of seasons who has been MIA this whole season, producer Jack. He's lined up for this one. He's actually taken time out of his busy schedule.
Well, I'm thrilled because... Yeah, I haven't spoken to Jack in a long time, so it'll be great to get him on the line. Should we tee it up?
Let's bloody get into it.
All right, Benny, your favourite part of the show here.
Yours too.
We are recording all of this. Yeah, mine too, not really. I don't talk as much, so it's not one of my favourite parts. It's a little bit of like the Brady Bunch sort of set up now. We are, as we said earlier, we've used the magic of technology to get this show continuing on through all the COVID hardships that we're facing here currently in Victoria. So we've got the split screen up. There's you, there's me. There is a passionate Brisbane fan. He's got the Brisbane Lions cap on. That is a great fan of the show too. He even told us that he listened. So that's the first person we've ever heard tell us that. Daniel, the passionate Brisbane fan. Daniel, welcome to the Magoos again.
Boys, yeah, thank you. I like to just give credit where credit's due. Show's great. Show's great. And thanks for having a Brisbane fan on. We don't get much representation in the
field. That is true. So. We usually stick to Victoria, but we are wanting to branch out. So
we had a Brisbane fan on last week, just for territorial.
You have an 8-year-old on the show. Come on.
He was 11.
He's 11, and he's great. He's a great big fan of the show.
We had a Brisbane player on last year.
Oh,
who was it? Tommy Bell.
All right, moving on. Introduce
this is
the
like,
other one.
This is like the bloody the Brisbane Lions show, let alone never represent other states, please. And former producer of the show, seemingly is taking annual leave, I assume. But Geelong fan, Jack, welcome.
G'day, boys. How are we? I definitely didn't have the annual leave built up from the last 2 years, but it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Well, mate, it's good to have you here.
For how many hours you accumulated, you've been due back in the studio for a long time now.
I didn't even put my timesheets in. It was that low.
But you have the ability to buy some nice plants in the background there, though.
Yeah, and I put the guitar there as well just to show off my musical aptness.
Yep. Girls, if you're interested.
None of this is going to work towards your argument, mate. Just to put that out there.
Oh, yeah, fair call. Oh, yeah, football. Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
That is the reason. I'll do the hosting. That is the reason that we've got you both here, because this week, Thursday Night Lights, Geelong and Brisbane, huge, massive. You two, both clubs are flying. The SCG, I'm not sure we ever would have anticipated Geelong, Brisbane at the SCG on a cold Thursday night in July, but such is the landscape. Daniel, last year you finished top four, you bombed out of the finals, straight sets. Is this a different Brisbane Lions, a more hardened Brisbane Lions than the one that jumped out of the box last year?
Look, I was the first to be a little bit nervous going into 2020, especially on the back of what we saw from Melbourne a prior year. I think that was 2018 into 19. It's hard with footy. You don't really know what you're going to get each year. I mean, we saw the Dogs win a flag. They dropped off pretty quick. So Brisbane's year, I was very happy with it, but I wasn't at all overly confident in thinking we'd back it up. But in saying that, from what I've seen from them in the last 4 weeks, taking out round one because that didn't matter, they've changed what they needed to change in order to become a better team, and that was incorporating a lot more corridor footy, and I think they've sort of brought that extra element to their game, which has shown in the last couple of weeks that they've got that ability to sort of overrun any opposition, no matter how good they are. You saw Port top of the ladder, you saw Adelaide at the other end. They seem to be able to adapt to more game styles now, this Brisbane side, and I think throw Geelong in there, I'm not that worried about it, if I'm that honest with you.
That's a fighting word, isn't it?
And Jack, we'll throw it to you. Look like you've been listening to a Rocky montage, just working, getting yourself G'd up here. How's your rebuttal for that?
Oh, to the Rocky montage? I just walked the dog.
Yeah.
Or to Oaks.
To Daniel.
To Daniel.
We're in an argument. Okay. Mate, give me something.
That's more of a discussion. Okay. But I've always called the SCG Geelong's home away from home, so I feel like we're going to be very comfortable up there. Had a lot of wins. Pretty sure the Nick Davis game was up there, but we won't talk about that. And I just really feel like Geelong are just going to be the team that keeps on going. We can do this for another 5 years. We've got a good bunch of young kids coming through. We're unpredictable. If Radigalia turns it on, you guys are stuffed. We got the old heads there. We just got all the parts. I'm not worried about Brisbane whatsoever.
Jack, can I just ask a quick question? Do you have any legitimate reasons?
What do you want, do you want me to like just talk about like ball
movement? Well, you just said like all these young stars and et cetera. I'm not sure if that's...
Quinton Narkle. Cockatoo's ready to go, I reckon, soon. I don't know if he went up in the hub. But
yeah, who knows?
You would hope so.
I just reckon our slower ball movement's kind of just gone. In the last week or two, we're going to start playing a more attacking brand because that Melbourne game the other week was just terrible to watch. But I think we're really clicking and the boys are just going to get it done at the SCG home away from home.
It really sounds like Jack's playing for Geelong, doesn't it? Like he's really towing the company line with some of these. Yeah, like it's as if he's going to line up on the half forward flank. Now, halfway through that pro Geelong rant from our good friend Jack Daniel, you just raised your hand there. So I feel like we don't need to facilitate. You've just got something to go straight back at him with.
Well, it's interesting to hear such confidence from a bloke who supports a mob that lost to Carlton just the other week. Quite emphatically, might I add, down at their own home ground. Now, you go around saying that, you know, Sydney's home away from home. Then what's Skilled Stadium? Because at the moment, it's not much.
That's our home ground. That's the one that's
Yeah, but you lost on your home ground. So then what are you going to do on the SCG against a decent mob?
I'd just say that was just a blip on the radar, Daniel. That's just one that you think, it happens all the time. Did it in my Montmorency days when I used to win games off my own boot. But you just like... You rock up, you think you're going to win, you don't get it done. We came back in the last quarter, we probably nearly could have got over the line, but the boys just
gone.
Yeah, and you just came up against a better side on the night, I think. That was all.
Nah, Geelong beat Geelong in that game, mate. It's all mental.
Oh, hang on a minute.
That was to rip off the fire pregame.
No barbs to the Bombers just yet.
I'm just trying to get Jake on my side over here. That's all I'm trying to do.
No, we won't be putting any barbs at the Bombers, Ben. We don't kick teams when they're down. Although, good week, win on the weekend.
We're sitting fifth and we haven't played an extra game. So, yeah, we're talking about your mob.
That's a good work. Well, Daniel's going to try and get Jake on side. I need someone in my corner, so.
Well, they also lost to Carlton, so that's a good start.
Yeah, so
everyone's lost to Carlton in this room other than Brisbane, I think.
No, time will tell.
But we beat them last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get me on your side and stuff, yeah, I was thinking, well, I think that there's no way Brisbane win this game. I genuinely think that there's absolutely no way that they win the game.
Can I just say, I want to jump in because this is an issue I've got with the show. And yeah, I would like
just one of many issues.
I would like to sort of voice this now for all those Brisbane supporters out there. It does come across quite clearly in the show that you do have an issue with Brisbane. And I can't help but feel sorry for you because I kind of get it. I can imagine what it's like to watch a side that was like you, cellar dwellers, for so long, just totally eclipse what is meant to be a great club in Carlton and just skyrocket up the ladder and leave you in the dust. It must be hard to watch that. So I understand.
Isn't that exactly what Brisbane have just done over the last few years?
Well done, Jack.
That's exactly the point he was making, I think. Oh, look, it's certainly not out of jealousy. I think it's just because I feel that the list is, and they are definitely slightly overrated. I mean, they finished in the top four last year, Daniel, and
They currently sit equal top, though, Jack. So
it's round five, you know, and they've only played up there. The one game they played down here, they got pulverised by Hawthorn, who won't make the eight.
I never thought I'd be the level-headed one out of all this to try and reel it back. We're talking about Brisbane versus Geelong, all right? So bringing it back to Carlton, you two. Similar to Jake's question at the start about Brisbane and, you know, about how people rate them at the start of the year, Jack, every year, and it's been a while now, that people are starting, myself included, have always gone, nah, Geelong will finally start to drop off. What do you think about this season in terms of that aspect of, like, will Geelong finally drop off? And be honest, I don't want to hear this. Well, we've got a young mixture of good kids and some level-headed old fellas and, you know, good club, you know, coach. And just, I want to hear it. Yeah. I want to hear the truth.
Well, we've got a good mixture of, like, young folks. No, I think the best year for this to possibly happen to us, because like with the shorter quarters, less games, the older heads around, it's kind of just worked in our favour of really getting more games into the young guys, getting another year of football into them, harden the bodies up. I reckon this is perfect, as opposed to Daniels Brisbane that are probably reaching their peak at the moment and want to be up the top of the ladder surging for a premiership. You just, it's just a wasted year, because no matter what happens, it's an asterisk unless Geelong win it.
I was about to say, that's a strange thing to say.
Well, before we get too caught up in premierships, let's get some tips for this weekend. We need some margins here, lads. Jack, I'm happy to add 20 points onto whatever you think Geelong will win by, and the whole night margin for the Thursday night. So, Jack, how much will the Cats win by in your eyes?
20 points.
Okay, well, there's 40 for me. Great. That'll 40 throw for you. My tipping out the window. There's 40 for you. And Daniel?
Your tipping's out the window already.
Yeah, I got 7 last week.
Me too.
Yeah, we'll touch it. Well.
Oh, no, wait, no. How many games were there?
No, you're nine. On 7.
I've got 8. I only got one wrong.
Channel 7.
You no, got no, 8 no. on the weekend.
Yeah, I got 8. I only didn't tip your boys. Hey, Oaks, can we have your tip, mate?
just when you boys are done talking about your footy. Look, I'm doing really well in my footy tips at the moment. I had Brisbane by, I think I had us by a goal against Port. I severely underestimated us. I would say at least a 6-goal win. Let's go 36 points. Let's go real generous with it.
So we've got an 80-point spread here then. We've got 40-plus for Jake, and we've got almost 40-plus for Daniel. So it's not going to be a tight one by the sound of it.
So, Ben, where do you sit?
I think Brisbane, to be honest. I think it'll be closer than 40 each way. But
probably. Yeah,
I think Brisbane. I'm very quick to say real deal too much on this show, because I just get excited sometimes. I won't get excited. I won't say you're the real deal. But I think in this year, as Jack's touched on, and you've got Collingwood, Richmond, these guys struggling. West Coast, who knows if they'll all come back. Brisbane is just humming along. I love it. I love watching it.
Can I just point out as well, I want to say something that Ben made a point to me last year. You've probably mentioned it on here. I just would have forgotten it. I'm an avid listener. But you did say to me that you consider Geelong front end of the season bullies. So they beat up on people at the start of the year, and then come crunch time, they just fade away. I don't want Brisbane to be Geelong. So I am aware that we might win too much too soon and then fall away. But mind you, I don't
lose this week.
I wouldn't be devastated.
Oh, hang on a minute. Here we go. Now all of a sudden, we're winning by 6 goals. But now, if we lose, that's what we want.
No,
this
I'm
is
saying,
like grade three
I'm
or
saying,
something. Like
I'm saying, I'm already reluctant about the win we're going to have. But you know what? Not everyone can get Richmond at home. So take them while you can get them.
I reckon you should take them while you're playing games at home.
We're not playing at home.
Yeah, but like you have what? Yeah, but like for how many of your wins have been at home?
Yeah, no, we're
having 4-1. Yeah,
4-1. Look, Jake, you go for Carlton. Shut up. Look, Jake.
He's rattled. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us for the conference call this week, Thursday night footy, Brisbane Geelong. Time will tell who's correct. It will be me and Jack, no doubt about that. Thank you very much for coming on the show, listening as always, and good luck to both teams for this weekend.
No worries. Do you want to come up with the game, Oaks?
Nah, go Brizzy. Get stuff.
Yeah.
You can't anyway.
Go the Lions. And Jack, good luck with Apollo Creed fight on the weekend, mate. All the best.
Thanks, mate. Just going to go skull 30 eggs.
Benny, here we go. A segment that I've got absolutely my doubts about. I'll throw to you to, after last week, we got a bit of feedback around this segment in particular, and a lot of it positive. But Ben, it's your brainchild. You take it away.
It is my brainchild. Very simple idea, this one. Sam 60, we've come up in the brain trust during the week to come up with the name of the title. So segment, simple. We got Sam, who is a recurring guest and host on the show, because people tend to love it. They love his authenticity, his honesty. He just is himself. I mean, we can see him on video right now. Look, have you seen a bloke more like himself than right now? but
never once.
I'm getting my own 60 on just the introduction of the segment. But Sammy, the rules are simple. You have 60 seconds. Jake, do you have a timer?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I
okay.
Have a timer, and I'm
you let us know, Jake. Sam, time. For those at home, Sam has 60 seconds. He wants to just discuss just a topic, football, sport, whatever related.
And Sam, as Andrew O'Keefe says on one of my favourite quiz shows, The Chase, your time starts now.
All right. Well, look, there are some things in AFL that you don't really try to take down. Probably Lee Matthews is one of them.
50 seconds remaining.
Right. This is merely the warm-up. But Lee Matthews, he's not impenetrable with his logic. Tonight, I want to talk about the Lee Matthews rule.
What's the Lee Matthews rule? Right?
5 minutes to go, 5 goals. However many...
30 seconds remaining.
You can't win the game if there are more goals needed than minutes.
Okay, right. So it's a goal-to-minute ratio. If you're down by five goals...
I'm only going to have 15 seconds here. The Lee Matthews rule is not in my favour. But what happens... What begs the question, what happens if you're
15 seconds
goals
remaining.
Down with 25 minutes to go in the game?
So all you're saying is that when you're 25 goals down, that rule doesn't apply. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm saying, boys, all right?
And that 60 seconds, Sam 60 for another week, seemed poorly researched and... poorly delivered.
Oh, no.
There's no excuse. We've muted you, Sam. You've been muted because you've had your 60 seconds and hopefully next week.
I think it's a...
I didn't mind it.
It's a good point.
I feel like
it
dances around the
point. It is a good point, though. The point, what he was probably trying to make, that, you know, that only works for a certain amount of goals and a certain amount of minutes. Once it gets over 6 minutes...
It doesn't work.
It's just gone.
Yeah, null and void. But I think Lee only applies it to games where it is, you know, like 15 points with 2 minutes.
Well, I think Sam.
I think
Sam's point was that that was never made clear by Lee Matthews. It was just that was all he said.
All right. Well, I look forward to getting Lee Matthews on the line for his rebuttal in the next few weeks. That was Sam 60 for another week. Benny, it's been an action-packed show. There's been plenty on it, plenty of guests, plenty of opinions. Something we always like to do is involve our Magoos community, who we love, a loyal group of people who follow us to the edge of the earth, and most times to their own detriment. But we asked for some questions, see what the people out there were thinking, and they came in thick and fast. We filtered through them. We've got some of the good ones here. J.Cross6. An avid listener of the show and a long-suffering Melbourne fan, albeit for one season in 2018, says, who is the next coach of Melbourne? And I think that there's only one club that's looking to move a coach on this year, and it's Melbourne. I've had a bit of a long-founded
Roozy.
Belief.
Bring yeah, back Roozy. Bring back Roozy. Bring back Roozy. Bring back Roozy. Neither do I, but
I'm not sure that Simon. I've never been sold on Simon Goodwin, and I think that this year could be because they've traded their first round pick away as well to North Melbourne.
I saw that from our good mate pointed that out on Twitter. That Rudy Edsel pointed that out to me.
Rudy, yeah,
that's where I saw that.
Look, if things don't improve for Melbourne, which I still think that they could, then, I think Simon will go, and I think that I'm not really sure if there is necessarily one that sort of stands out. It depends who becomes available, I think. Do they go back with an untried coach, or do they – I'm not sure what they do. I'm not sure.
Untried,
Men than me have tried to work out Melbourne's problems and have come up short.
Well, it sounded like their problems were sorted when Roozy was top of the helm and then just sort of gave over the reins. Everyone was bloody excited. Do you remember that clip, I think, when they won which final was it in 18? They won one, and there was all these people shouting out to Roozy, who was on Fox Footy at the time during that. Do you remember that? And he was getting a bit emotional because they were giving him all the gratitude for it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and that was not that long ago, but...
Yeah, it wasn't, but footy. It's amazing how quickly time is in footy. Ben, you got one for us there?
I do. Okay, we've got one from and_brack05. Will Rowell.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Andy. Will Rowell win the Rising Star? Now, this is obviously going off the back of his injury, AC joint.
Season-ending surgery.
Season-ending. Season-ending. You're right. So I guess we're five rounds in. He all bets were paid out on Rowley.
Rowley? You
on,
too.
On Rowley? I reckon we could be mates, yeah. I reckon Matthew would definitely get a beer with me one day. Rowley, if you're listening, drink with your other hand. He can't win it from here, surely. It's too early in the season. I know there's only 17 rounds, but what do you think about Jake?
No, he can't. I just don't think that off five games you can... I mean, and the thing is that he can win it next year. He's played less than the 10, so I think that they'll probably manufacture it so he doesn't win it this year, and they'll probably tell a few people to give him some ones and twos just to be a talking point. But yeah, I don't think he can win it with only five games. But if ever there was a season where you could, it's probably this. So I remember actually sort of coincidentally Mark Murphy, who was obviously very, very highly touted when he came in, could have been Carlton's first ever number one draft pick, I think. And he had a similar shoulder injury in his first season as well, and
really?
Was sort of a bit of a moral. It was a bit later on. It was about the midway point, but got tackled and did his shoulder. And he was a moral for the Rising Star. Hadn't had the impact that Raoul had had, obviously, for you have. But, it was a little bit of deja vu for those who remember those times, not overly fond times to be a Carlton fan.
And just on that, I did like that Stuart Dew came out and said that, you know, if surgery is required, we're going to do it. We're not going to rush this kid. There's really no point. I mean, even though I've tipped him for the top eight, which has seriously dented that... that big call. I think it's the right, absolutely the right thing to do. And I noticed Gary Ablett, by the way, offered some advice to him after the game. But
bit of mentoring.
The question didn't come in, but I want to ask the question. Was it just a really good bloke thing to do, a really good guy, Gary, or is he grooming him to come to the Cats?
No, I think it was just pretty
innocent. Yeah, you're probably right. I'm just trying to get a headline here. Anyway, Jake, you got a question? You drop on your pen again?
Not really, mate. Again, we got one from Leo _Cav, who says, why do the Bulldogs have so many front runners who will only perform when the game is won? I've started to change my mind on the Bulldogs. I thought they played very, very well against North Melbourne, who are nothing if not hard to beat most of the time,
They are.
And they give them a bit of a touch-up without some key personnel. I know that North were missing a few as well, but I thought the Dogs were very good, Leo, on Saturday night, and... being a long time knocker, that says something, but I hope they get rolled this weekend.
I do like the way the question was presented, because it puts you in a box already that you have to agree with his point to start with, by saying, why do they have so many front runners when the game is won? I think they're one of those teams, and there's a couple of those exciting teams, Brisbane as well, Essendon, when they are playing good footy. I think a lot of teams have those sort of front runners, and I don't know if it's just comes naturally or if it's a young person thing, perhaps. But I think it might come with experience. The two way running. Everyone loves a goal. Everyone loves setting up a goal. You just run that. I think just from a human perspective, everyone runs that a little bit harder the front way. But it's a tough question. I think they'll get better running the other way. So, good question, Leo.
Fair enough. Next one.
What do we got here? I've got one from MN Haynes, who is a good friend of the show, Collingwood supporter, always right. Happy to do a conference call. Did co-host Jake Lambert have a nice 28th birthday, Jake?
I did have a nice 28th birthday over the weekend.
What did you get up to?
Oh, well, obviously not much. It was scale back restrictions compared to what we have now in place. So had a few beers with a few friends Saturday night, and very quiet on the day of my birth, which was the Sunday. So it was very nice. Thank you, Matthew.
Well done. And happy birthday for Sunday, Jake.
Thank you. 28. We've got one that's come in here from Ben Franzini _, obviously some sort of fan account of yours, because it says, Ben's kind of cute in his own way. Thoughts?
Well, that's not me, for starters. I feel like how Kevin Durant felt when he got caught with his burner accounts. I think that might be – that's in the eye of the beholder, I guess. But, Jake, that question you might want to answer because,
he definitely has an individual charm. I wouldn't use the word cute, but there is something. There's definitely something about him. And another question's come through from what looks like another burner account. Should the AFL schedule Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night footy during lockdown? So what do you think – like, would a game a day work and then two games on a Saturday? Is that what do you think this person's getting at?
Yeah, I guess they are. And I'm not, I don't hate the idea. I think we could have, it doesn't have to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I reckon we're in such a unique year that why not? Let's roll the dice and we're all at home anyway. No one's got to get up early for work anymore. You're getting an hour and a half extra sleep in. So why not try it? What do you think? I mean, obviously Channel 7 have their shows that get popular ratings during the week, and they probably don't want to shuffle those things around. People don't like having the games early in the week starting at a late time, which I get as well, but I reckon.
Well, I mean, I've just sort of done a little bit of a quick headcan here. So if you have a Monday night, a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, a Thursday night, a Friday night, you can then have a Saturday afternoon game into a Saturday night game, and then a Sunday afternoon game into a Sunday night game, and that gives you your 9 matches for the round. It would obviously be, I think Travis Olds had his work cut out for him more than most during the fixture, how it changes, and I don't think they'll go to that extreme. I think Monday night footy's coming in, which will be good. But yeah, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, just, you know, a little bit of clear air, just not the oversaturation, especially, you know, the state of the game's discussed enough, I think, rather than having to watch.
Yeah.
I think that's where it might just seep into the meaningless category, some games and things like that. But I definitely think
could do
Thursday to Monday, inclusive of those days, you can
You
can get it going. Yeah.
You do want to miss it a little bit as well. Are they scheduling? I haven't actually heard. Are they scheduling the Monday for the US viewers? It's meant to be prime time, their time, isn't it?
Yeah, I assume that then falls on a Sunday.
I saw a headline regarding
that still be Monday morning, I thought.
No, yeah, and do you think that's got to do with the local popular ratings that it's getting in the US, mainly due to Pat McAfee?
Yeah, it's an interesting market to appeal to. The AFL are all over.
It's kind of funny how, like, the AFL would spend millions of dollars on expanding to China. We're trying to expand to China. We're using all these, you know, marketing and advertising dollars to try and build this game. And then it hasn't really gone to plan. Like, I mean, it's hard to market the game in general. But then all it takes is this one guy who used to play NFL, who has a very popular show, popular podcast, popular YouTube show. All it takes is him to catch on that the AFL is pretty cool to watch, and then his viewers start tuning in, and that didn't cost millions of dollars. All that took was one bloke who's just like, this game's pretty sweet.
Marketing.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Send him a jumper, and then he's all over it.
No, yeah, very, of course, Eddie did. Yeah, straight away. I've got a theory about that, actually, Jake. I think.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. You're not done.
Well, no, I might wait, but I reckon Eddie has a lot to do with the fact that Mason Cox is still getting a game for Collingwood at the moment. I think it's got to do with that expansion and the dollars potentially with that US market. That's just my theory.
It's probably a smart enough call. Yeah, hard to.
There's no way two touches get you a game the following week. No,
you wouldn't have thought, even if you are 7 foot tall. Yeah. Hey, Benny, it's been, as we said before, it's been an action-packed show. Great to get our first Zoom show away. Here's to many more successful ones in the future. You were great.
You were great.
Head to the socials, tell your friends, share, like, subscribe, all that stuff. Rate us on your podcast apps. And enjoy another extended week in footy. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. All those fun things, given the COVID restrictions are back a bit tighter. In Victoria, if you're not in Victoria and you can get out and about around other parts of Australia, then enjoy yourselves. And if you're going to the footy, then lucky you. have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Enjoy. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.